Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
As many of us have traveled around the city, or the state, or the country, or even around the world, we have found that it has been important, in fact, it's been necessary sometimes to have a map to help us, to guide us to our destination. And there have been times when we have regretted that we didn't have a good road map or that we didn't bother to take a look at it to find out where we were going, having only eventually arrived at our destination with some difficulty. For over 20 weeks now, we have been looking at the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And it has been an adventure. It has been an awe-inspiring journey, and for some of us, it has been a life-changing experience. Paul has given us insight into who we really are in Christ. All that we have in Him. The depth of the riches that are ours. Now that we are part of the family of God, all of this belongs to us. And this journey that we have begun in Ephesians does not end today as we finish this letter. Because what Paul has been teaching us are principles and guidelines, commands that are to be our roadmap. How we are to live. How we are to apply what we have learned to our lives for the glory of God, for the glory of Christ. And Paul has covered all of the hills and the valleys, all of the twists and the turns, all of the dead ends. And he has also given us the way, the right way, the best road to travel. We'll just follow this roadmap. A roadmap that God has given to us in His Word. If we will just follow it, then we will arrive home to heaven, having given glory to Christ while we were here on this earth. In these 6 chapters, Paul has told us of the blessings that we have in Christ. The wisdom of God in us. The power, the resurrection power of Christ in us. The Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The forgiveness that we have because of what Christ has done for us. The peace we now have with God. The assurance that we will be with Him forever. Paul has even given us the directions, the roadmap of how we are to function in this life. The map of how we are to function as a body of believers, as the church. How we are to conduct ourselves in our homes, in our relationships with each other, within our family, at work. He has given us an understanding of the resources, the tools, the weapons that we have in order to live victoriously for Christ. Paul has laid it all out for us. Who we are, what we have in Christ. Look at who we are. Look at what we have. God has given it all freely to us. But as Paul ends this letter, he tells us that without traveling on this road with an attitude of prayer, praying our way through the day, praying our way through this life, that we will not be able to live for Christ. The entire letter has been leading up to this final thought. The same thought that Jesus expressed in Luke chapter 18, 1, where he said that at all times, we should be praying so that we do not become discouraged and lose heart and faint and fade away as we face the difficulties of this life. The point is this. Continual prayer is vital to our spiritual health, just like oxygen is vital to our physical health. We need it all the time. The disciples learned that lesson the hard way, didn't they? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26, Jesus told them three times, keep watching, keep praying. We all need help. We all need divine help. So what did the disciples do? We're told they fell asleep. And when the enemy had come upon them, they were unprepared for the conflict. And so they all fled. They all abandoned Christ in his hour of need. So even though we are prepared for this battle, even though we are committed to Christ, even though we are filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Word of God, even though we are confident in him, trusting him, believing him, knowing that we are his forever, still, Paul tells us, we need to keep praying. Praying, he says, in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, with all prayer, prosuke in Greek, offering ourselves up to him, falling on our faces before him, in all the seasons of our life, in all of the circumstances, in all of the times of our life. But you know, it is sad but true that most of our times are fervent times of prayer. Our most consistent and our most heartfelt prayers. Think about it. They're related to us. They're related to our difficulties. They're related to our problems. Paul reminds us that we are always dependent on God. So we should always be speaking to him, not just when we have a problem. We should be as fervent in our prayers when we praise him, when we worship him, when we give thanks to him, as we are when we cry out to him for help and for deliverance. We need his grace in order to stand in every situation and everything we're going through, even when things are going well. We need to be praising. We need to be fervent in prayer because things are going well because of him. And so Paul says we are to bring our prayers. We are to bring our petition, deesis in Greek, our specific request. We are to bring that request before him. Well, we're to bring everything before him. We are to come before the throne of God, aren't we? Knowing that he is our Lord, our God, the one who will answer us. He cares about us. We know it's Christ who intercedes for us. He's the one who died for us. How will he not give us all things that we need? We belong to him, so we're confident when we pray. We rest in his love. We rest in the fact that he knows what is best for us, and he will answer according to what is best for us. But sometimes our prayers are not very specific, are they? They're so general, they're so undefined, that I don't know how we will know if he has even answered that prayer. So we are to pray, Paul says, specifically for that specific need, that specific request, so he can answer specifically, and then we can give glory to God for that answer to that prayer. So pray, Paul says, verse 18, at all times, see every circumstance, see every situation as an opportunity to speak to God, to speak to our Lord, living, breathing, praying, in constant contact with Him. The life of prayer. David said in the Psalms over and over again, he said, I will pray in the morning, in the evening, I'll pray at noon, I'll pray every day, I'll pray daily, I'll pray at night. He said, I will lift up my voice at all times to God, my God who is in the heavens. Seeing everything around us, everything that happens to us, everything in our lives as it relates to Him, speaking to Him about what's going on in our lives. It's a conversation. We speak to Him. We're living in communion with Him, in fellowship with Him, aware of Him at all times. Psalm 16:8, David said, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. That is living in the presence of God, living in communion with God, living in fellowship with God, speaking to Him, Paul says, in the Spirit, under the influence, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, the one who dwells within us, who belongs to Christ. We belong to Christ, so we are filled. We can be filled with the Spirit of God as we are filled with the Word of God, and He will help us to know what to say to God. He will help us to pray. He will give us the words. He'll give us the words from the Word of God. And as we pray those words, we will glorify Him. Now what David said in Psalm 37 verse 4, he said this. He said, delight yourself in the Lord. Make it the priority of your life. The priority of your life to seek Him. Make it your greatest joy, the greatest joy in your life. To bring glory to Him. Hunger and thirst for a deeper relationship with Him. Make that the longing of your heart. And as you draw near to God, you will find that you want to draw even nearer, even closer. And the psalmist says, if you will do that, if that will be your attitude, if that will be the desire of your heart, he says this, God will answer your prayers. He will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because your desires are consistent and in line with God. Your desires become His desires, our desires equal His desires. They're the same. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do through us, doesn't He? Doesn't He want to glorify Christ? That is what He does. And He will glorify Christ through us, through our prayers, as we bring them into line with Him. It will witness to our spirit. We will be in agreement with Him. And so, our prayers will become powerful, because they will be prayed in the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. That is powerful prayer. So pray, Paul says, with this purpose, with this result in mind, in view. Have this in your heart, in your mind. Pray this way so that we might be alert, he says. on the alert. Agrupineo means without sleep. It was a military term. It was used to describe a soldier who was to stand at his post, to stay awake, not to fall asleep. And Paul says, don't let down your guard. It's the same idea he expressed in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, where he said this, devote yourself to prayer. Prokatareo, it means don't let go. Keep on praying. Hold on. Stay awake. It's a problem that we sometimes have. Just like the disciples. Instead of praying, we fall asleep. Have you ever noticed when you're starting to pray, it seems like all of a sudden your mind is flooded with these thoughts? You're a little more tired than you were before? Paul says we need to stay awake. We need to be on the alert. The enemy doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't want us to have that communion, that fellowship, that power that is available when we pray. So Paul says pray with perseverance. Proskateresis. Giving our full attention to prayer. Don't let your mind wander. Pay attention. We're speaking to God. So he says, then give your attention to prayer and petition. Bring your requests to God. But don't just pray about yourselves. Paul says we need to be praying for other people. He says pray for all the saints, verse 18. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for those who are engaged in this spiritual battle, just like you are in this spiritual battle. They need your prayers. Don't become so self-absorbed and so self-centered that you're consumed with yourself. When you pray, become consumed with them. I wonder if that's the way we really pray for each other. Well, it may be hard to find people like that today. But Paul told the church in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, that there was a man who was praying for them, and he was a man just like that. A man by the name of Epaphras. Paul told them that he was praying for them, continually praying for them, he said, laboring earnestly in his prayers for them. Agonizomai. In agony. He was in agony over them in prayer. So, is that how we pray for each other? Are we in agony over our brothers and sisters? We may be in agony over ourselves, but are we really in agony over others? And you know, we may not even know when we pray whether those prayers have been effective until we get to heaven and we see our brothers and sisters there. And then we will know that our prayers for them have been effective. And so Paul tells the church in Ephesus, he says, even though you're over 1,000 miles away, and you're really not a part of this situation, you're removed from what I'm going through here in Rome. He said, but you can still help me. You can pray for me. I need your prayers. So he says, pray on my behalf. Huper, for my sake. Pray for me. Pray concerning me. Well, we all need the prayers of those who truly seek the Lord. Those who really care about us. Those who love us. Those who will agonize over us before God. We all need prayer for the battle. Remember how the nation of Israel, after they had been freed from their captivity in Egypt, wandered around the wilderness? And when they were there, they encountered a hostile nomadic tribe, a people called the Amalekites. And the Lord commanded the nation of Israel to fight against them. So Joshua took the army into battle, and Moses stood on a hill overlooking the battlefield. And it says in Exodus chapter 17 that when Moses raised his hands to heaven, the battle went well. Went well for the Israelites. But when he got tired and his hands, his arms began to fall, the Amalekites began to prevail. So two men, Aaron and Hur, came alongside of him, one on either side, and they held up his hands for the entire day, for the rest of the day, all the way until sunset. And we are told that the Israelites were victorious. As faithful men and women come to our side, as we come to their side in prayer, there is victory. We need to hold each other up. We need to lift each other up in prayer. And it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter how far away we are from them. Why? Because there are no restrictions in time or distance with prayer. It's an amazing thing about prayer. We can pray anywhere, no matter how far away someone is from us. So which of the Lord's servants are we praying about? And are we sure? Do we understand how we are to pray specifically for them? Well, Paul wanted the Ephesians to pray for him, and he had some specific requests. So what did he ask the Ephesians to pray about? Well, he had a lot he could have asked them for, right? He was a prisoner in Rome. He was chained to a soldier day and night. He was about to go on trial before the most powerful man in the most powerful nation at that time. A man who had the authority to execute him. So what would we have asked the Ephesians to pray about for us if we had been in that situation? Well, Paul says this in verse 19. Pray for me that utterance, logos, the words. Pray that the words may be given to me, that God would allow his words to flow through me. To flow through me in the opening of my mouth, that I would have the opportunity to freely speak what God has revealed to us concerning the salvation that he offers us through Christ. Pray that I might be led by the Spirit of God to make known Gornizo with the right words at the right time, so that I would be able to speak with boldness, he says, parousia, with confidence, with conviction, concerning this mysterion, this mystery that God has revealed to us in Christ. The mystery of the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. For which I am, he says, an ambassador. A representative of Christ. One who is in chains. But I am not a bondservant of Rome. He says, I am a bondservant of Christ. So pray that in proclaiming this truth, I may speak boldly and with courage to fearlessly magnify the name of Christ, so that I might speak as I ought to speak, so that I might fulfill the mission, the assignment that God has given to me. That is what I want you to pray about for me, Paul says. But so that you might know, so that you might understand more fully about my circumstances, the situation that I have here, and how I am doing, proso, the conditions in which I'm in. Tychicus, a fellow servant of the Lord, a man who has proven himself to be a reliable partner in the work of Christ, a man who is a beloved brother, one who's very dear to my heart, and a man who has been a faithful minister, a servant, a trustworthy servant of the Lord, servant of Christ, he will carry this letter to you. He will make everything concerning me known and clear to you. And I've sent him to you for this very purpose, so you may know about us, understand more fully, so that you may pray more effectively. And I am sending him to you so that he may comfort your hearts, parakaleo, to give you a fresh heart, a new perspective, so that you would understand and be comforted and be encouraged when you see how the Lord cares for those who belong to him, so that it might strengthen you. So now, Paul says, my brothers, my sisters in Christ, I pray this for you. May the peace of our Lord, the peace that has been given to us by God, may that be granted to the brethren, to you who look to Christ, who is our peace. May his love be the defining characteristic of your lives. May you live in that love and live with faith, with faithfulness to him, a faith which he has given to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, may his grace, his favor, his blessing be yours in abundance, overflowing in you and with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ, with a love that is incorruptible, a love that is without impurity, a love that is sincere, an undying love for him, an unwavering love as we travel this road to be with him, on our way home to be with him forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.